This new Presbyterian church needed a name. Four Presbyterian denominations already existed in Northern Ireland: the Irish Presbyterian Church, the Non-Subscribing Presbyterian Church, the Reformed Presbyterian Church, and the Irish Evangelical Church, to which Dr. Paisley was aligned, which later changed its name to the Evangelical Presbyterian Church in 1964. A name that would distinguish the new church from each of the others was required, plus one that encapsulated the spirit and character of this emerging denomination. No record exists as to what possibilities were put on the table or into the melting pot that day, but a definite chord was struck when Mr. Hamilton Coulter proposed Free Presbyterian, reflecting the fact that this name would certainly emphasise the church's freedom from apostasy and liberalism and from the overreaching dictatorial clutches of the Irish Presbyterian Church. Thinking over this choice of name, this early explanation was given. The new church is proud to be called free. Free from the blighting power of modernism and gloriously free in Christ, the great King and head of the church, for whom the Son makes free, are free indeed. The Belfast Newsletter's report of the constitution of the Free Presbyterian Church in Crossgar on the 17th of March 1951 noted how, in the course of his message, Mr. Paisley declared that this new denomination took its stand for the infallibility of the Word of God. They believed that the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, was God's inspired, infallible revelation. When modernists were forgotten and heretics were no more, the Word of God would stand forever. The church was to be called the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, the "of Ulster" suffix being designed to distinguish it from the Free Presbyterian Church of Scotland. We are not ashamed to associate ourselves in our name with our beloved Ulster. If by taking the name of Ulster we infer, as the Presbytery in their statement suggest, that we will leave the rest of the world to the flames of God's wrath and judgment, then, logically, they themselves, by taking the name Ireland, must be guilty of doing the very same thing. Presbyterian. We are most certainly Presbyterian. Presbyterian, not merely in name, but in faith and in practice. We accept the Westminster Confession of Faith and the longer and shorter catechisms as the historic basis of Presbyterianism. We believe and uphold these standards, not pretending to believe them and then seeking to overthrow them, as the Irish Presbyterian modernists do. We believe in the Presbyterian form of church government. That is, the government of the church by elders who are not, as the scriptures teach, to lord it over the church, as the Presbytery of Down seek to do. Of course, in the controversy of those days in February, March of 1951, many questions and barbs and objections were launched in the direction of this new church by the denomination that most people were leaving. Answering one objection, Mr. Paisley stated, "They say you cannot form a congregation because the code forbids it. We have no truck with the code. Irish Presbyterianism has sold the pass. It has betrayed the heritage of our fathers. We in Crossgar are going back to the old standards and to preach the faith of our fathers." Other questions centred on the election of elders and the induction of a minister for the new congregation. "Who will elect the elders?" asks the Presbytery of Down. The installed elders were already elected by the people who constitute the new church, and the elder ordained was elected to the office of ruling elder by the unanimous wish of the first members of the Free Presbyterian Church of Crossgar. What presbytery ordained the elders and inducted the minister? In this matter, the Reverend Ian R. K. Paisley did not act alone. The presbytery concerned was the Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, wholly consistent with the definition of a presbytery that is found in our Westminster Confession of Faith, page 311. A presbytery consisteth of ministers of the word and such other public officers as are agreeable to and warranted by the word of God to be church governors, to join with the ministers in the government of the church. In flagging up one of the bitterest battles within Presbyterianism, the Trinitarian question, back in the days of Henry Coke and right through to that day, it was emphasised we are Trinitarians and cannot have any fellowship with Unitarians, whether in the guise of the Irish Presbyterians or non-subscribing Presbyterianism, or whether they take the false title of First Presbyterians. We are Trinitarians. The Unitarian leanings of the Irish Presbyterian Church are pretty much gleaned from what the principal of Assemblies College, who holds that position by the vote of the highest authority in the Church, the General Assembly, what he had to say. Davy had been guilty of pronouncing these heretical statements. For example, the Holy Ghost is not a person in the same sense as the Father and the Son. He also said there is no clear Trinitarian conception in the New Testament. And he also followed that up by saying, I know of no proof text from Scripture that is conclusive for the doctrine of the Trinity. And with respect to another allegation, that the new church was not Presbyterian, but really Baptist, a charge that sometimes is levelled in this age as well, this response was given. We are not Baptists. The Presbytery of Down knows full well what a Baptist church membership consists of. That is, those who have been immersed on profession of their faith. That will not be the basis of membership in Free Presbyterianism. The basis of membership of Free Presbyterianism will be in line with church membership as set out in the Confession of Faith. And this note was then added. It can be proved that great numbers of the Westminster divines were in favour of a declaration similar to ours on baptism. It was said then, we are Protestants. We cannot join hands with Romanism, the sworn enemy of all evangelicalism, or have fellowship with those who are almost on the same level of idolatry with her. Who are the true Presbyterians? We, who stand where our forefathers stood for the whole Bible, with sword drawn against Romanism and Unitarianism, or the Irish Presbyterian Church, who allow their leaders to deny the Bible and join hands with Romanism and Unitarianism. In that inaugural sermon at the Constitution of the Crossgar Congregation, Mr. Paisley threw down the gauntlet to Irish Presbyterianism when he said that he would debate with any leader of the Irish Presbyterian Church in any hall in Belfast that his statement that the Irish Presbyterian Church in its General Assembly had betrayed her position as an evangelical Protestant church and had allowed modernism and rationalism to take the seat of authority and rule her with ecclesiastical dictatorship. A full 30 years later, he reflected on the dawn of Free Presbyterianism in Crossgar. I remember the first day I came in that little ruby saloon car. I needed a shoehorn to get me in and two shoehorns to get me out. I remember going into that little hall. It was a Sunday night, and I spent half the night upon my knees in prayer. Little did we know how God was going to answer those prayers. And with that comment, another distinctive of the new denomination was highlighted. Without question, the lever to the power that caused it to grow was prayer. As I read through part of the early history of our denomination in the March 1981 edition of The Revivalist, this paragraph stood out. It detailed an event just before the 11th of March 1951 when that public announcement was made that a new church was going to be formed, Day of Prayer and Fasting. A special day of prayer and fasting was held in Ravenhill, at the conclusion of which the way of God was plain as day, and the brethren knew that God had called them to tread where the saints had trod outside the camp, and then by the way of the cross to the upper lands of God. The prayers of this denomination have been a high hallmark. May we witness a return to this kind of praying. We need it if we are going to know any blessing in the future and be able to retrace our steps to that lovely phrase, the upper lands of God.